So, the first three slides are going to be kind of a review, which leads into the message. Yeah, that's good. I just wanted to say that before we get started with this, that the last song that we sang, let me just read you some of the verses from that. And this is so true of what the message is really about. That last song, "There's No One Like You." Mm-hmm. And, you know, what a fantastic, loving, beautiful, strong, powerful, awesome God, forgiving God that we serve, that we love. And the focus of this, you know, one of the things that it said in that song was that he opens the eyes of the blind, mm-hmm. and into the darkness he shines. So you're going to hear some reflection on that in the message here today. Some things that Reggie said too. You'll see where we're going to go with this. But I'm going to take this again, this part of a previous message and talk about the kingdom of God is within you. All believers have the kingdom of God within them, right? Everybody believe that?
Amen.
You as a believer, you have the kingdom of God in you because the King is in you, right? And that's what and there's nobody like Him. And all of us have a tremendous potential for good because we have the very Spirit of the living God that it resides with us. Isn't that fantastic?
Yes.
And so the kingdom of God is within each and every believer. That's a fantastic concept that I hope that we really think about from time to time, and that it gets expanded in our heart. So let's go to the next thing. Something that's very true and very obvious. The kingdoms of men are against the Lord. Psalm 2 says that they rage against the Lord and His Messiah. These kingdoms are based on lies and corruption. Anybody want to argue that? So these are pretty straightforward concepts that I don't think really much can be said about. You know, we have a kingdom that's available to us, and we're in this physical world where the kingdoms of men reign. And so we have we're in both camps at the same time. In a physical sense, we are in the realms of the kingdom of men, but we do have opportunity in the realm of spirit to not be residing in our minds and our hearts in that kingdom, in that corruption, in the place of lies and lusts and fleshy endeavors. So we're subjects in both types of kingdoms. We can still be influenced by sin and corruption and lies. Too bad, huh?
No.
And at the end of the message last week, reflecting on some things that Reggie had brought in that dream he had, are we really ready for His coming? And I think all of us really would answer, I don't think I'm as ready as I want to be or should be or could be. And so for all of us, how serious are we about our response? And so we want to look at what is it? Is there anything that we do about that? What do we do? I forgot that I did that. But I took those from last week. So you remember those those two little pictures? We have the angel and the devil on each of our shoulders. The whole concept of Jekyll and Hyde. We want to serve God. We love God. We've been brought into His kingdom, but yet we still act in ways that are not right. And if we want to be more than just someone that feels subjected to that reality, then we are going to be those that want cry out for answers from God so that we can move on in Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So that we can be strengthened in the Spirit of God. And that's hopefully that's what we want, all of us here. And so I want to talk about disciples. About us being really disciples of Christ. That isn't just the 12 apostles. Okay? Disciples, as the definition is up here, someone who is being taught, who is learning, who understands, one who embraces and assists in spreading the teachings of another, and in our case, it would be Jesus, it would be Christ. A person that is an active adherent of another's doctrine, in this case, Christ's teaching, Christ's doctrine. One who follows and conforms his life to the teachings of another. So these are all definitions of what a disciple is. Someone who is going to follow the lead of that teacher, and in this case, Jesus. Amen. That's and really, I think the next one is the Great Commission. Yeah. So in Matthew 28, verse 19, it says this: "Go therefore and make disciples of the nations." One of the translations also says it a little bit differently. It says, "Go therefore and teach the nations." So, making disciples and being taught, or you teaching, is important. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. So, this is the Great Commission. The Great Commission does not say make people believers. That's the first step, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Jesus' intent in the Great Commission is not only just to bring someone to salvation. It was to go beyond that. Because Jesus knew what we would have to face even in the condition of being taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. We still have to deal with ourselves, and we still have to deal with the kingdoms of men. We're not in a bubble. And so Jesus knew, and this is why the Great Commission says this, and not make believers of the nations. He says make disciples of the nations. And because we need a consistent, strong teaching, a consistent, strong relationship that comes from Jesus alone. Jesus alone. Okay? Alright, so this is what this Great Commission is all about. And it is important for us as... how come that's not... There we go. So here are some concepts I want to make sure that we get to. One of them is this. We are making ourselves and others disciples of Jesus. We're not disciples of anyone else. We're not trying to make a disciple on the doctrines of the Word of God Church, the doctrines of the Assembly of God Church, or any church. What we, as believers in Christ, want to do is to encourage every single other individual, as well as ourselves, to have a relationship with Christ so that we can hear His voice and understand His voice and listen to what He has to say. Not just be followers of men that are in a church, but that you are developing a relationship, and I am developing a relationship with Jesus Himself. Because if my ears are not attuned to Jesus, I can hear lies and I won't know it. I'll hear another voice and think it might be Jesus. The more our hearing ears get developed to know what's right and what's wrong, what's truth and what's a lie, is going to be very important as we continue walking toward the end of this age. Can't say this enough. Jesus says in John 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So this is important, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not only important that we hear His voice, it's also important that we better follow Him. We better do as He does. We better listen and do as He instructs us to do. Right?
Yes.
I'm talking to the right group of people, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because how important in the days ahead, especially with the nations of the world even raging stronger against Christianity, how much we better make sure that we're really hearing the voice of Christ.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that here. Here's another concept before we get into talking about actual hearing. Only true disciples can teach others to become true disciples. If I'm not pursuing God with all my heart, I can't bring anybody else any place that I haven't been. Look what it says here. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into a ditch. And so the opposite is true. The opposite is true. If someone is really following Jesus and sees where Jesus is going and is following Him, that person can better help another person get themselves in the right direction. Otherwise, both of them are going to fall into a pit. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Now, I think I should point out here that people can see the way to go, and a person hears someone else. It's up to that person to develop the relationship with God, not just listen to that person, but develop the relationship with God so that they're hearing themselves. That you don't just take what somebody else says, but that you hear and you determine what is of God and what isn't. You have to have the kind of ear that hears. You as a sheep of God need to be able to hear His voice and follow him. Amen?
Yes.
We don't want to be lemmings. Somebody want to tell me what lemmings do?
Make lemonade.
Follow. They make lemonade? Yeah. They say it again?
Every so many years, they shoot into a pool, and they follow each other into an over a cliff.
Over a cliff. They all commit suicide. They're little tiny rodents. They multiply so much in a 2-year span that they have this kind of thing that they have to get rid of themselves so that they can repopulate again. It's unbelievable. Otherwise, they'd overrun the world. But anyway, lemmings are very productive, and so lemmings have in them this thing that. If one of the lemmings starts taking off and running, all the rest of them see this person, this lemming running, and starts running along with them. And then other lemmings see these people, and I keep saying people, you know why. They all jump on the bandwagon. And they all run in a particular direction, and what happens is they run off the sides of the cliffs, and they all die. It's crazy. It's a crazy, crazy thing. That's what lemmings are. No. Yeah.
Can you spell that?
Lemming.
Lemming.
Yeah. Lemming.
Really.
Lemming. Yeah.
Can I tell them about the lemming condition?
You tell them.
Okay. Well, there's a book called The Lemming Condition by Alan Arkin, and I read it to kids in middle school, junior high, beginning of high school, because it is a perfect example of what you should not do in following the crowd. Mm-hmm. This lemming, it focuses on one particular lemming who has decided that he wants to follow the crowd, and then he learns that he doesn't really know what he's doing. Nobody else, none of the other lemmings know what they're doing, and one day they all just decide to up and run toward the sea, and he decides not to, and he's made his own decision, and it's an excellent, excellent book for kids of that age particularly who might want to do something like that, just follow the crowd.
Yeah. And for us, we don't want to be following religious ideas, or we want to hear the voice of God, recognize the voice of God, number one, hear his voice, and then be obedient to follow him. That's where any pastor is not looking to do, or shouldn't be looking to do anything but inspire the congregation to have a relationship with Jesus, not some crazy religious do's and don'ts thing, but to have a hearing relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
That's what's important. That's what's important for you, and that's what's important for me. We've got to hear his voice. Now, there's ways that happens, and that's what we're going to talk about here at the end of the message. So, let's get to it. Do you remember that at the beginning in the thing about he opens the eyes of the blind?
Yes.
Oh, blind leaders of the blind, and if blind are leading the blind, they both fall into a ditch. I don't think that the blind person really realized that he was leading himself and others into a ditch.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
They're not running into a ditch on purpose. So, isn't it important to know, to really be, to have that deep knowing that you are hearing from God? Yes. And there's so many things that go on in this world that it's good to have the mind of God about. The wisdom of God to lead you and guide you. Lead me and guide me. That's what I want. I think that's what all of you want. It doesn't just happen because we're Christian.
Yeah, right.
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
It happens for the kind of people I am now going to show you. It's clear in the scripture that we received a free gift. We didn't deserve it to come to salvation. But when we recognized our sin, we recognized we were imperfect, that we needed God in our life. And when we recognized that, God said, I got a free gift for you. If you want it, you can have it. It's free. It's called salvation. I will rescue you from yourself. And so the first step is taking us out of the realm of flesh and putting us into the realm of spirit. But God is continually rescuing us, even after that first initial salvation that ensures us being in heaven with Him. And that is that we get a chance to live more like the Lord by the choices that we make. You cannot just kind of push this off and say, oh, well, I don't care about that. I want to live the way I want to live. I know I'm going to go to heaven. But you know what? There are tremendous consequences. And with what is going on in the world, it's even going to be greater consequences that this generation, our generation, are facing. So, anyway, I got off track a little bit here. Alright, so, I want you to figure out what is the theme of all of these verses here. I want to see what you would come up with. So, Jesus, therefore, what'd you say?
Be a disciple?
No. This is the beginning of the topic. And down in the bottom corner, when I click, will be what I think the theme is. But, you know, maybe you have a different theme. But read those, if you can. I'll just read it for everybody so you can see it. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In 2 Timothy it says, give diligence to present yourself approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, handling rightly the word of truth. And the last one says, but abide you in the things which you have learned. You're a learner. If you're a disciple, you're learning. You want to learn. You're hungry. You're thirsty for the presence and wisdom of God that comes from His Word. And have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them. All right, 2 Timothy 3:14. Okay, so what would be kind of a common theme that you get out of that? What can you say it means to be a disciple from those verses?
To be more like Jesus.
Okay.
Learn the truth. Word.
Something about truth. In two of those, it has the word abide. Okay. It has truth in
two
of them.
Our learners.
Every one of these you're learning. You're staying consistent, right? It means something to you, right? All right. Well, this is what I wrote down just to kind of summarize it. But all that's been said is true. What you abide in truth. Now, what's the word abide mean?
Live.
Right? You're going to live there. That means it means something to you. Does your home, does where you live, doesn't it have a kind of a special meaning to you, where you live, compared to maybe someplace else? Mm-hmm. You know, you like to go visit people, you like to go on vacations and stuff, but isn't it great when you get back home?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, mostly, I guess. What?
There's no place like home.
There's no place like home, people say, right? There's no place like home. There's no place like being in the truth. There's no place like that. To know what's true, to hear the truth, because the truth sets us free from the shackles of our own attitudes and thoughts, from the lusts, from the lies and deceptions that are out there swimming all around us, swimming around your head, my head. Why can't I? Okay. Here's something else. If we're learning something, we need to learn to listen for the voice of God. This is kind of a general statement. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned." Some translations say the tongue of a disciple. "That I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned," or as a disciple. What do you get out of that verse in terms of what it means to be a disciple? What do you get out of that?
The it's Lord's a daily God. Thing.
It's daily. This isn't come to Sunday a Sunday service and then the rest of the week you just go your merry old way. I can't just go my merry old way. And you know what? My mind and my habits get in the way of this. Now, how serious do I want to abide in truth? To abide in His Word. How serious am I? How serious are you? Because you and I can shake our heads and say, "Of course I want to. Of course I want to be abiding in truth." Well, you know what? It takes something. This part of our salvation, this part of our being rescued from ourselves, is something that becomes our choice. It's not a free gift. You understand that?
Mm.
Being a disciple becomes a choice.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
It's not a free gift. We don't just get the little magic wand and we're now disciples. We're disciples as we choose, as we give up things to be in His presence, in reading His Word, in turning and mortifying the deeds of the flesh. It's great to hear. It's not so great when we have to go, you know, and this was said, you know. It's not so great when you have to actually go through the process. And so many Christians love being believers and all of the wonderful things that are going to happen at the end, which are going to happen. But God needs disciples. That was God's intent, wasn't it? In the Great Commission? Go and make disciples of the nations. Now, if you love Jesus, and if he is the greatest thing of being ever, and you want to please him, you get to find out how much you really do by how much you actually apply this message to your life. And the same thing with me. I'll tell you what. The Lord's been dragging my little honey through the fire. And when I actually really look at myself, I want to please him. I want this. But you know what? I've got to die to some things. I've got to decrease and he has to increase. And if you mean it, and if I mean it, then at some point in time, I'm going to become more serious about abiding in Christ. Not just talking about it, but actually, time, 3 days from now, middle of the week, things have happened. You're not in the church building. You're not usually around a bunch of church people. Your life is happening to you, and you've forgotten things that have been talked about, and things that right now you're going, yeah, I want this. 3 days from now, I wonder if I'm going to want this. Or that I'm going to remember, so that I'm waking up day by day, crying out to God for ears to hear him that day. Because it is, it's day by day, morning by morning, I open my ear to hear as a disciple. Are we going to be disciples? Because it's going to be important for every single one of us to be disciples, not just believers. Do you think that that's true?
Yes.
I am standing up. Yay. Okay. Where are we? Okay. Isaiah 50. Okay. All right. So, learning to listen for the voice of God. All right. Here's something particularly. God speaks directly to our minds, doesn't he? It's usually in a still small voice. It doesn't sound different than what you hear when you're thinking. God's voice enters into our mind, and it sounds like our mind speaking to our funny little brain, right?
Yeah.
It's a still small voice, usually, and it usually brings peace even when he says something we don't want to do. There's things that have happened recently where I was driving in a particular direction, and I thought, and I really thought it was the Lord, and I'm moving in a particular direction, and then I get something else come to my mind, and I have peace about it, and I go, "Is that you? Is that you, Lord?" And it was, and I'm at peace about some things. But that's how he talks. That's how he talks to us. And he gives us peace. When I wouldn't have expected to feel peace in what he said to me. So Psalm 32:8 says, "I will instruct you in the way you should go." So he speaks to our minds. And then that thing with the still small voice, I just put in there all the little words there are out of 1 Kings 19, 11, the second part of 11 and up to verse 13. The Lord was not in the wind, And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out, stood in the entering of in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And then the story goes on. Now, this is to show that, you know, he heard a voice and he recognized this voice, that was God's voice. It was different. He's looking for grand things, but it's usually a very simple thought that comes into our minds, and something is different about it. And it's something that's compelling. Something that's out of the ordinary of the way we think sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, you might be hearing from God in your mind. Because he does speak to us. And we want to be able to hear him, right? My sheep hear my voice. Right? Okay. Here's another way, and I think this is a way that all of us have definite access to. Hearing God's voice is a very long process, and well, even this is a long process too. But instruction from the Word, either God speaking to you as you're reading the Bible, or maybe there's someone that you're talking with about something in the Bible, and maybe they have an ability to teach, and so there's some instruction that comes out of the Bible. But the way we learn the voice of God is through instruction from the Word, whether it's just you by yourself or with somebody else talking, where you search it out, it gets confirmed, and everything is in harmony. That's how it should be. You can't just pluck something out of the Word and create a teaching out of it. It has to have the whole counsel of Scripture. I did not hold back giving you the whole counsel of God. This means it's not little cherry-picked things that are thrown at people, where you can get confused or misled because you don't know what the whole counsel of the Scripture is. It's important that it's all searched out, that there's other people that are that can confirm that, or that there's other ways that God confirms what you're getting in your mind, and it's going to be in harmony with the rest of the Scripture. And then you're going to know you're hearing what's true that's in the Word of God. Another thing that helps you is righteous living allows ears to hear and eyes to see. Matthew 13:15 says this: "For this people's heart is grown corrupt, their ears are dull of hearing." We live a corrupt life. We live a life where we just pass off the who cares? You know, I'm saved. I don't want to have to deal with all this kind of stuff. I don't want to have to change inside my heart. I like me just the way I am. Well, we're corrupt, and what's going to happen is we're going to end up ears that are dull of hearing. God speaking, we don't even know He's speaking. Somebody else says something, and oh wow, that's tickling my ear. I like that. But we're talking about Christians. Christians can have their ears tickled, can be dull of hearing because they're not really pursuing a righteous life. They want to go their own way. Well, they're saved, they're in the kingdom of God, but they're also moving in the kingdom of men, and there's bad consequences for that. So their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes, they've closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. And I want to say to you, that scripture there applies to me and applies to you in some kind of aspect. So it's important that we're always pursuing God and recognizing where we fall short so that we can pick ourselves up, turn to God, repent, and move on. Right? I hope you guys understand that. And I think we're at the end here. I have one other scripture, though, that I thought of after I had made this. Let me just read to you. It's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Oops. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly. This is going to be 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 5. Verse 2 again. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes in such a way as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You know, if we're casual believers, if we're not really pursuing a discipleship where we're abiding in His Word and knowing and crying out for righteousness and a desire to hear His voice and to do it, if we're in that state, we're still in darkness, aren't we? We're believers, but we can be in the dark. And it says here, you're not in dark that day should overtake you. We have opportunity for the light of Christ, the Word of God, to be a convictor of our souls. You are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. In other words, we've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put it in the kingdom of light. But you and I know that we're still making choices and we still are influenced by the darkness. And when our minds and hearts turn toward that and make the wrong choices, we're in the dark at that time. Right? We're children of light, and the scripture says in Ephesians, if you live in the light, then walk in the light. Mm-hmm. If you have the light available, turn the darn light bulb on. Right? And the Word of God, it says, is the lamp unto my feet, mm-hmm. and the light unto my path. And I just want to encourage, I'm encouraging myself, I'm encouraging you, that we want to be disciples. That's Jesus' intent. Not to just be believers, not to be casual, but to be disciples. And that discipleship is going to require abiding in His truth, abiding in His Word. I just encourage all of us, find more time. Make more time to read His Word and allow that Word to percolate inside you. And when God, through what He says to you or circumstances where He shows us something about ourselves, that we allow that to be something where we say, God, change me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we thank You, Lord, today. Ask Your blessings on everybody here. Your Word is a light to us, Lord. We want to be people of light. We want to be Your disciples that abide in Your Word. We know that when we do that, that we will find the truth, and the truth will set us free. We thank you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.